Before we move on to any other series, we've thought that there was various of the heroes of faith that we it was worth going back to Hebrews 11 and having a look at some of the other guys that are mentioned there as a encouragement and a spur for us to keep moving on in faith. And as I was looking through that, my eye was partly drawn to, well, my eye was drawn to Moses, and particularly because there's a story of Moses, or rather one of the aspects of faith that's related to Moses in Hebrews 11 is about the beginning of his life. And I figured, seeing as several months ago I spoke on Jacob and Joseph and the fact that actually their acts of faith were right at the end of their lives, I thought this would give some nice balance to look at one of the ones that's right at the beginning of one of the heroes' lives. And so I am going to attempt to share the screen, and hopefully that's going to behave itself, because I've got PowerPoint and... also, I have a little video to show as well, which will hopefully run okay. And so if your children aren't already watching and they're nearby or close enough to grab them, you may want to just grab them, because there's a good little video here that I'm about to show, which is about the beginning of Moses' life. So I'm just going to read a couple of the verses, which should be on, you should be seeing on the screen, and to sort of hone down onto the particular part that I want to speak about. And so it begins with the Hebrews 11 verse that we're looking at, which is, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's law," king's edict's law. And so looking back at Exodus, just to read a little bit more around that, just to give it a little bit more context, Exodus 1, the very last verse of Exodus 1, verse 22, going into the beginning of chapter 2, says, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live.' Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when he saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months." So this is the part of the story that I want to concentrate on, because it's a bit that sometimes glossed past, really, when we get onto the exciting bit about him being hidden down in the River Nile and the princess finding him. But this sort of 3 month little bit here is often missed, and it's actually the bit that Hebrews 11 highlights, because it says that it was his parents, by faith, they hid him for 3 months. And so that's the bit that Hebrews 11 is referring to. And so I thought, actually, I need to think about that a little bit more, because the reason why it says that they showed great faith is basically because they were overcoming the fear of death through that. Because by Pharaoh's law that he said all the baby boys should be killed, so that meant obviously death of all the baby boys. But if the people didn't obey that, then they were obviously risking that they would be punished and maybe even put to death themselves. And so for Moses' parents to step out like this and not let their child be taken, they were exercising faith, because they were showing that actually they were showing faith in not fearing death that may well come to themselves. So it was an act. So the act of keeping him alive, they were putting themselves in grave danger. And there are many examples through history, of the church history, of people putting themselves in great danger for the sake of others. And of course, in some parts of the world, that's still happening today. And through church history, we hear of many missionaries who went into really, really dangerous situations, many of whom were killed, and many others who put their lives on the line and put their health on the line. And people have done that. And sort of even today, you hear of people risking their lives in that way in order to take the good news about Jesus to people who don't already know it, and or indeed to serve people through their love for Jesus. And but it's not just fear of death that can stop us sometimes, but actually it can be much more so for us on a day-to-day basis, really. There are things that that stop us stepping out in faith, other fear. And sometimes it can just be the fear of looking foolish. And and so that can be a challenge to us. And when there's the opportunities to pray for people, I have to confess, I quite often don't take those opportunities. And I think probably looking at it is just a fear of looking silly or looking foolish. And I'm not quite sure where that fear comes from, because actually when you think about it, it's pretty illogical. But that is something that takes us. And when we were out 2 weeks ago, this is what Scotland looked like. So most definitely we don't always have rain, that's true to say. And so unlike yesterday, 2 weeks ago on Saturday was a very different day. And so this is where Julia and I were 2 weeks ago on Saturday. And we walked out to the sort of further top that you can see in the distance there, and then back along this way. And when we were reaching one of the bits back along this way, we could see up ahead that there was a guy who was retching. And so obviously he was having trouble. Now, it was if you remember 2 weeks ago on Saturday, it was the most gorgeous day. It was very hot, very still. And when you're up on these sort of hills, you do go through a lot of water. And so I kind of assumed that the guy was perhaps suffering from dehydration. But unfortunately, we were getting quite low on water ourselves, so wouldn't have been able to help. But as we were reaching them, we began to ask how they were doing and what seemed to be the problem. And the guy sort of very quickly said, actually, I suffer from diabetes. And he'd not long been on some new medication. And when they went out on big walks like this, he would quite often begin to feel ill. And then what he'd found is then every 20 minutes after that, until they got back to their car, he would effectively be retching. So we asked if there was anything that we could do to help, and if they were going to be okay getting down off the hill. And they said there wasn't really anything we could do to help. They had food, they had water, they had everything that they could have, and they would just have to sort of make their way down. They would be okay, it would take a little while. And so they said there wasn't really anything else we could do. So realizing there was nothing more we could really do, we sort of said goodbye and began to walk on. But just as we were leaving them, I suddenly had that thought came to my mind, what am I doing? I should offer to pray for them. And so I went through that momentary sort of bit of, oh, don't be silly, you look stupid, they'll think you're silly and that. And I thought, no, I'm not going to give in to this on this occasion. And so I turned around and I said to the guy, look, before we walk away, you might think I'm a bit crazy, but actually I'm a Christian and I believe that God can heal people. And and I said, we'd be very happy to pray for you if you're willing for that. And obviously, I won't lay hands on you at the moment because of the situation we're in. But I believe if I pray that God will hear and maybe heal you. And the guy said, actually, no, I wouldn't want you to pray for me. I'm an atheist and I don't believe in that. So actually, no. And so that was a bit disappointing. But I said, that's completely fine. I understand that we've all got sort of different beliefs, and so that's fine. I respect that. And so I thought, well, as we walk away, we'll pray for him. But he didn't want me to pray. So What I was hoping for, of course, was that amazing testimony of, and we prayed for him and he got better, and we were able to say, look, church, we're starting this Alpha course and we can, and maybe you want to listen into this and hear all about Jesus. But no, that's not the end of this story, unfortunately, at the moment. So we carried on walking, and as we were walking away, Julia and I sort of began to pray for him and pray for several minutes, and praying that God would just show his love to him and help him to get down the hill safely, and that he wouldn't feel like he's retching all the time. But of course, because of what he'd said, we couldn't carry on. We couldn't sort of do any more than that, really. So as we carried on walking, we were sort of looking back behind us quite often just to check that they were moving forward okay and still going okay. And so all the way back down the hill, we were keeping an eye to make sure that they seemed to be okay, just in case they needed more help and we could have perhaps gone back and helped them. But so on that occasion, that's the end of the story, I'm afraid. I can't give you any greater testimony than that, but who knows what God is doing, and who knows what God was even doing then. It was a relief to me that it's one of those occasions where I didn't actually give in to that fear, but I actually grabbed hold of it. And I thought it's good to give testimony like that, just to say, well, it might not have this amazing ending at this stage, but it's good to stir each other that actually we get these opportunities to pray and just to be alert, to take hold of them, even if we're feeling a bit fearful at the time. So faith, when it comes to faith isn't the absence of fear. But when we're faced with a fear, we overcome it through faith. And that's important to remember, because sometimes we think that actually, if we're in faith, that fear will go away. But I would certainly say from my testimony, fear doesn't ever go away. It's a case of actually that faith enables us to overcome fear. And so going back to our story, on this occasion, I think one of the really important things to notice is that actually for Moses' parents, it was faith and wisdom actually working together. Because you could argue that, well, if they were trusting God, if they're in faith, why did they hide Moses? Because it actually says that in the text, doesn't it? It says, in faith, they hid Moses. Well, why did they need to hide him if they were in faith? But actually, they were in faith because they weren't letting him be killed. But actually, they then also, as part of that act of faith, they were exercising wisdom, because it was wise then to try and keep him hidden. And so that's what they did. And so sometimes we can think, well, why did they need to do that? But actually, if they just purely acted and said, we're acting in faith and they're going to show him to all the neighbors and all this sort of thing because we're in faith, then I think they would have been going over into what you consider that there was a presumption, that it was something slightly different from faith. It was a presumption that actually they didn't need to exercise any wisdom because it will be okay because God is looking after us. But often when we need to act in faith, there are also steps of wisdom that we also need to bring in as well. And so I believe that faith is given from God, wisdom is given from God just as much as faith is, actually. And Hebrews is very clear, actually, by hiding Moses was an act of faith. The actual hiding of Moses wasn't an act of fear, it was an act of faith. And so that's important to notice. The wisdom doesn't negate the fear, but rather this is an example. It's part of the outworking, the two things working together. You're not fearing, you're standing firm in faith, but you're also exercising wisdom at the same time. And as I was sort of preparing this, I was thinking about sort of ways that we could perhaps give examples of how we can sort of do this thing of faith and wisdom working together. But actually, I think one of the things is that sometimes these things can seem so normal, it's quite hard to think of examples. But I felt it was actually more important as a real exhortation to us to actually look for opportunities and see opportunities. And when that fear comes upon us to act, let's grab hold of faith. But also let's realize that actually part of maturity, part of maturing as a Christian, is actually part of acting in faith is to also exercise wisdom as well. And so there's a challenge to us, but also it's a reality, isn't it? It's a reality check that actually we need to follow steps of wisdom as well as grabbing hold of faith. It's the two things working together. And so that's a real sort of punch of the message that I'm hoping will come through this morning, is that actually faith isn't the absence of sort of putting steps of wisdom into place, but actually it's moving forward in faith and putting those steps of wisdom in place as well.